Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance here with you, along with Scott Barrett. He is back. He is talking some fantasy football.
Fantasy Points is the website.
Fantasy Points is the website.
You can go get your cheat sheets and everything over at Fantasy Points. Scott has. There's a lot of great articles, very good writers. You can go get strategy. I don't think enough people take time to read articles about strategy. You just want everyone's ratings, but you need to read on strategy so you have an idea. Scott, I think one of the biggest concerns for the biggest differences between good fantasy owners who are always in the mix in your league and the ones who are erratic are the good owners. Like, we've got a guy in our auction that we've had for years and years and years, Mr. S, of course, Pat O'Neill. And he's known for always being near the top because some of those guys come in and they say, this is my strategy, whether it's a draft or whether it's an auction, and they stick with it. Just like in real drafts, when you have guys who stick to their board and stick with their strategy, I think that's one of the real keys. When you go in and you don't have a strategy and you just fly by the seat of your pants, which probably 75% of the people do, if not higher, that's a big differentiator.
No, I think that's absolutely right. You know, I really encourage our subscribers to go the extra step of, you know, doing mock drafts, and more than that, just like really plot out your perfect draft. So if you're in a snake league, you know where you're drafting from, know who the circle your draft sheet players are, the guys you want to bust out the highlighter for, who are going to be available to you in the middle to late rounds, where even if you reach a round, it's still a tremendous value. And so you start from there and sort of work your way backwards and plotting out your perfect draft. That way, if it's an auction league, it's, who are the guys you don't mind bidding an extra $3-4? You know, you're not going to get outbid on those guys. And so if, like, you see tremendous value at the wide receiver position on ESPN, it's really soft this year. T. Higgins, Luther Burden, Christian Watson, Parker Washington. You have those four guys? Okay, then you can get at least one premium running back, but probably not Jahmyr Gibbs. And so, I really encourage everyone to come in with a set strategy, plot out your perfect draft, and run some mock drafts as well.
So I get a premier running back in the first round. Let's say it's a snake draft. I get a premier running back in the first round. I'm going wide receiver in the second, as opposed to just a bit having one position really good. What do you do in that situation? If two guys are equal, will you take the wide receiver or another good running back?
So not this year. This year I would take another running back. That's the most important, most valuable position in fantasy. In a three wide receiver league, actually, I'd probably take a wide receiver. In a two wide receiver, which is an ESPN standard, I'll take a running back. Why? It's positional scarcity. There's only 32 starting running backs in the NFL, right? But your league is starting a minimum of 24, plus maybe another 6 to 10 in the flex spot. But there's, in the NFL, there's like 10 really gross 50-50 committee backfields. So it's just the lack of the scarcity there just drives up the value. And then above and beyond that, it's really in the middle to late rounds. There's so much more wide receiver value. Like, I love, like, really late, I love Casey Concepcion, I love Josh Downs, but you don't really have that at the running back position. There's no, like, hey, this guy feels like he's mispriced by three rounds.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I ran into that, John, with our auction, our draft at DraftKings. We had one last with the listeners last week, Scott. And you find out really quickly, if you want to jump in on wide receivers early, I mean, It is a really tough. I think you're going to be having to look for waiver wire running backs. You're going to get one of the better running backs within the first two picks. You almost have to go running back for one of those two picks. You almost have to. And it's looking like, depending on where you are, if you don't grab a running back within the first four rounds, you're cooked. I mean, you're going to have volatile running back play, to say the least, at RB2. Or at least it's highly possible, because these drafts and average draft positioning, people are not messing around with running backs this year. They're not playing any games. There's a clear subset of tier one and two, and then it's a big drop off at three and four. That's what it feels like.
That's absolutely right. The well just dries up so fast at the running back position. I just pulled up my own rankings. Of my top 16 overall players, 12 are running backs, 4 wide receivers. This is the year of the running back, it seems.
I want to ask you about some specific running backs to that point. Now, what are you doing for people who haven't drafted? What are you doing with Josh Jacobs? I'm going to ask you about three guys. Good. What are you doing with Josh Jacobs? What are you doing with Jeremiah Love? And what are you doing with Kyren Williams? I want to know those three guys specifically, because they all have different issues that I want you to address.
Yeah, so they're all fades for me right now. Josh Jacobs, like in a home league, I want no part of. Like, I think there's a good chance he just doesn't play a single game all year, and so you're just holding dead weight for a really long time. I mean, technically, where do I have him in my rankings? I moved him to like RB34, but you know, ADP is kind of slow to adjust. Kyren Williams, I want no. I really worry about Blake Corum. Seems like the team is really high on. And if you look at the efficiency metrics, he was elite in everything: EPA per run, success rate, yards after contact per attempt, missed tackles, forced per touch. And then who was the third one, Lance?
Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, Jeremiah Love. This has been a hot take. I mean, like, the experts love Jeremiah. And you could talk about how special of a prospect he was. But it's just, you know, he's missed some of camp. He's 50-50 for week one. He has, like, among the toughest touch competition of any running back. Like, Tyler Allgeier was good enough to force a committee with Bijan Robinson, who might be the best running back in football. James Conner, I know he's hurt, but you look at the last three seasons, he's top five in every efficiency metric. Like every year there's kind of optimism on these rookies. And so to me, I like Jeremiah Love. I'm going to have him on a bunch of teams, but he's not a player I'm drafting. He's more a player I want to buy low later. I think he's going to start off slow and then be great in the second half. So in like October, I'm going to hope that manager started off 1-4, and I'm going to try and buy low on Jeremiah Love via trade.
You're going to get him late. He went 18th in our draft.
Wow.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure we have a bunch of.
He went ahead of Ashton Jeanty. I'm not. I don't know. How high do you draft Brock Bowers?
So that's a good question. It's a nuanced position. It's in an 18-10 team league. I love Brock Bowers. I'm very happy drafting Brock Bowers, you know, 20th to 24th, somewhere around there. In a 12-team league, I kind of want no part of him. It's just, this is sort of the rookie mistake people make in their own fantasy drafts, is not devaluing the onesie position. This goes back to what I was saying about scarcity. And so, yeah, I don't draft quarterbacks until I've drafted like three bench players. Like, I'm always the last guy to draft a quarterback. And the same thing's true for tight end. Like, I love Brock Bowers. I love him. I think he's an amazing player. But the value you could get on Tucker Kraft or George Kittle late, and then pair them with a Dallas Goedert even later, or Isaiah Likely, is just tremendous. So in a 12-team league, I kind of don't want Brock Bowers. In an 18 league, yeah, I definitely want Brock Bowers.
Does Trey McBride change that for you at all in a PPR league, or is it the same? I would assume it's the same concept since it's the same position.
So it's the same concept. I like Trey McBride a little bit less. I think he's going to have a regression, and I worry about – so Jacoby Brissett, dating back to college, you might know this, Lance, just from your film study, has targeted tight ends at, like, the league's highest rate. In college, it was the FBS's highest rate, and then every year he's been in the league, he targets tight ends at the highest rate. So he's a cheat code for Trey McBride, but I worry this team kind of secretly wants Arch Manning to be the quarterback next year. They're quiet, quitting. You've got Carson Beck starting the second half. And so I do have him a few picks behind Brock Bowers and feel good about that. And, yeah, so he's not an exception either. Colston Loveland goes too early for me. Tyler Warren, I love those guys. It's just really just fantasy, a different game.
So you never get. I won a league 2 years ago and got to the playoffs a couple of years with Josh Allen. You never get Josh Allen because you don't draft a quarterback early. I'd love to have. I took him in the third round because I just got to have that guy on my team.
Yeah. So in an 18 league, again, the premium assets really just go. It's like a total edge pick having a Josh Allen, or in a super flex, or if you have like wonky scoring where you get points for carries, something like that. He's awesome. He's an amazing pick. 12 team, no. It's because just I know quarterbacks score the most points, but it's a position of really high parity where it's like the QB, kind of after Josh Allen, QB2 through QB16 is all the same guy. And then on top of that, ADP is just really, really bad. I have this thing, my Exodia quarterback, where I've gotten really lucky, but it's also ADP has been really bad, where I've hit on that quarterback just about every single year, dating back to Lamar's sophomore season, where last year was Drake May, who only Josh Allen scored more fantasy points per game. The year before that was Jaden Daniels, who was top five. 2022 is Justin Fields. 2021, Jalen Hurts. 2020, Josh Allen. 2019, Lamar Jackson. And so these are all guys going the double-digit rounds who ended up finishing first, second, or third best at the position. And so I feel good about my Exodia quarterback this year, and it's just, again, the running backs and wide receivers are really the positions you want to target early. I'm just about always the last guy in my draft to take a quarterback.
Yeah, I am too, but it can be a real problem. You got to really do well and find somebody who's consistent. I found whenever, because I was one of the last, and we're talking about, Scott, backups are coming off the board, and so I'm ending up with QB20, and that's not ideal. And I've always done this. I rarely get a quarterback that's worth a crap, and I always take my shots, but I always feel like it's going to work out, and it doesn't always work out great. I usually have to go to the waiver wire and find something.
The good thing about the quarterback position is you can generally do that. Like Matthew Stafford was found off waivers last year. I don't know if you know what streaming is, but like streaming is an approach where if you just play matchups and pick guys off of waivers, you could cobble together like QB8 levels of production. So like the floor is, I know it seems scary, but the floor is not terrifying to me personally.
You just have to be involved in the waiver wire you're talking about.
Yeah. I always do that with my defenses. Who's playing?
Oh yeah,
who's playing Cleveland? Who's playing? You know, the worst offenses. That's the defense I want that week. To name your top rookies this year.
My top rookies this year. We talked about Dejon Shribling on the show last time. I really like him. The most likely outcome is he's buried behind all these alpha target hogs. But in fantasy, the most likely outcome isn't always as important as the bull case outcome. And so if one of those guys go down they really nailed this draft pick, I see a ton of upside for him in what looks like a great offense. Casey Concepcion is a player I'm very high on. Jadarian Price, I think, is a really good value. He's not quite a must draft because there's a running back I like more who goes just a little bit earlier, but I feel like he's getting slept on. All this talk about George Holani, I don't know.
That's 23 carries for 75 yards in his career. And this is like the George Holani thing. This is, they're just saving snaps for him in the preseason. That's all it is. They're splitting 50-50. I did some research on it. The Holani thing is nothing. What you got to fade is Zach Charbonnet coming back. And I think by that time, and this is a team that's going to move the football in Seattle. So in my opinion, Jadarian Price is going to get plenty of touchdown opportunities. And I think he's going to catch the ball more than we saw it in Notre Dame because, you know, Love was such an effective pass catcher. So I'm a big fan. I think Jadarian Price he's my pick to win Rookie of the Year this year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and for all the reasons that you probably like him in fantasy football.
I love that. I mean, you have the proof of concept last year. Kenneth Walker in the playoffs, 25 fantasy points per game. The Seahawks ranked top three in carries last year. They won the Super Bowl. You know, it's a good team with good game script, good scoring opportunities. So I'm right there with you. I love that call. Rookie of the year, Jadarian Price.
We got Scott Barrett with us here. Fantasy Points is the website. Where is the when's the earliest you take a defense?
So I don't even take a defense typically. I do what you do is I stream the position.
Oh, you don't even take one?
No. You gotta take one at the end.
No, I don't even take one. I take like a random handcuff like Ray Davis, in which case like if James Cook gets hurt, then I have this tremendously valuable fantasy asset. And then literally the day before kickoff week one, I'll just drop my worst player and I'll pick up a defense. And that's what I do every year. I literally don't draft a kicker, don't draft a defense, just add them the day before.
That's funny. Yeah, I get a different one every week. I got the Jags because they're playing, I picked them last.
The Browns, right?
Yeah, they're playing the Browns. So I just picked the Jags in the last round. And so I got them, and they were going to play the Browns, and Deshaun's going to get
it. I saw Lindsay Rhodes from Sumer Sports, who I know, analytics group, that, and I know Lindsay from when she was with NFL Network. But she had a post yesterday that I retweeted that, had you just played against the Raiders with the fantasy team every single week, you would have scored 50 points higher than the number one defense in fantasy football.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, but incredible. You can't get that because other teams will have
right.
that defense.
No, that's true.
Other teams will have that, so you gotta pick and choose who's the
it's
worst.
It's not like every week
of all the defenses that are available.
Scott, I would imagine there's going to be times for 2 or 3 weeks you're rolling with the same defense.
Well, yeah, that's part of the upside to streaming is like, so let's say you pick up the Jaguars and they get like 7 sacks, and you're like, yo, this is actually a really nice defense. You don't have to drop them; you can hold on to them, and who knows, maybe that's a top five defense, and so. Or you do that in week four, similar thing. And, yeah, that's one of the benefits to streaming.
How about taking guys from the same team?
Right. Stacking, it doesn't really matter to me. I don't really factor it into the equation too much. Theoretically, so it, basically what it does is it makes you more week-to-week volatile, which makes sense. It's like if the team has a bad game, then, yeah, you're more likely to probably lose your matchup. But I think overall it's positive correlation. It's like, bro, imagine sophomore year Patrick Mahomes. Like, you just went all in on the Chiefs. It's like, yeah, you destroyed your league. You smashed your league. So it's like, or the Texans, C.J. Stroud's rookie year. It's something like that. So it's really not something I give. I think people overthink. And so I kind of just draft the best players and don't really worry about that.
Would you take CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, or would you rather have Javonte Williams and George and CeeDee Lamb?
I would rather Javonte and Pickens. That's one of my hot takes is like I think George Pickens is elite. I think he's insanely wickedly talented, and so I kind of worry about CeeDee Lamb. But yeah, the correlation between a wide receiver and running back is actually could potentially make you less week to week volatile. If it's a high powered offense like the Cowboys, then you're getting all the points instead of the weeks where they just go super run heavy. Okay, you got the Javonte points. Weeks they go super pass heavy. Javonte's scripted out. You get all the wide receiver points. So if I were to go a stack like that I don't think. Lowers your volatility at all, and you get some positive correlation.
Scott Barrett with us from Fantasy Points. If you are looking for an edge in fantasy football, Fantasy Points is one of the best that you're going to find out there. Great writers there, John Hansen, Joe Dolan, Scott Barrett, and many, many more. So in terms of ratings, freshening up your own ratings or getting strategies, that's one of the spots you can go. And then, Scott, give him your any socials that you want to promote.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Scott Barrett DFB. You can check me out at fantasypoints.com or YouTube Fantasy Points. I think that one's PTS Points. And, hey, thank you so much for having me on. I've been a fan of the show for a really long time.
One more thing.
John's not done extracting information from
this,
you.
We can do this.
We have our auction next week.
What running backs do you have to have handcuffs for?
So again, this is like a game theory thing. I'm pretty anti-handcuffing. I don't want my own handcuffs. Generally, I want someone else's handcuffs because the game of fantasy is all about upside. And so you're raising your floor sort of at the expense of your ceiling. So I generally not do that. I was doing it with Josh Jacobs. I think that's a unique, you know, scenario. But right now, I don't know that there's, I mean, yeah, if you have Jeremiah Love, because he's questionable for week one, get Algier. If you have Ashton Jeanty, get Mike Washington, because he's questionable for week one. But outside of that, I'm not really chasing running backs too much. My favorite handcuff right now, though, it goes in the last round, is Emmett Johnson.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel like I'm looking at him right now. I'm looking at Emmett Johnson right now because, and Kenneth Walker was good, but he was great in the postseason. But he was good last year. Not great, though.
Well, we're forgetting he was the most injury-prone running back like the last 4 years. And that's probably why he had a 50-50 split with Charbonnet. Is, you know, we didn't trust him to stay fully healthy. He's already kind of banged up now. And Lance, what did you think about Emmett Johnson as a prospect? Were you...
He reminded me a lot of Pacheco in that his running style is very... And I wasn't a big Pacheco guy, and Pacheco flashed, and now he's kind of regressed a little bit. But Emmett Johnson to me is just full speed ahead, 100% go hard. And so if he has a line in front of him that can block and open holes in terms of a gap scheme, he's gonna cause some problems. If he has to be with an offensive line where he has to make reads, run with better tempo, slow down. I think there comes a time where he's got to slow the accelerator a little bit and let things develop, let blocks develop. So I think his success is going to be tied directly to his ability to learn to run with better tempo and to do a better job of reading defenses up front. But when it comes to playing fast, like if you block it for him, he's going to get on top of secondaries. I mean, on top of the second level. Very quickly, because that guy hits the gas as soon as it's in his hands, and he can, you know, and I think he can be a factor catching the ball. So I think he's kind of, you know, there's some running backs that are going to be really great. You know, they just need a functional offensive line, and there are other guys that I think are tied directly to their offensive line, and I think he might be one of those tied directly to his line. But if you get the right blocking in front of him, you know, he's got a chance to do some good things. Could be a good value late in the draft.
Right.
I like By the way, I like Ray Davis as a second. I'm glad you said that. He was like my last pick, and I was shocked to see Ray Davis, who can also catch a ball a little bit, shocked to see Ray Davis still on the board in our fantasy snake draft, just because, I mean, that's a big part of what the Bills are going to do. And if something happens to James Cook, who's not the biggest back out there, I just felt like Ray Davis carried a lot of value, and I was surprised to see him go as late as he did.
I'm with you. We just saw James Cook rank top five in touches last year. He's not a big guy. And we have seen, you know, a case where James Cook goes down, Ray Davis comes in. He's a bell cow. He scores a bunch of fantasy points. So, you know, that's a name to get in the last round of your draft. Don't take a defense. Take Ray Davis and then maybe drop him a couple of days before kickoff if you have to.
That is Scott Barrett. Fantasy Points is the website. Hey, Scott, great stuff. We appreciate you. Good talk. I could do this. I'd love to do this all day. All day.
Look how things have changed. You could talk fantasy all day, and every day was World Cup talk with you. You've really grown as a person, John.
I really have. I'm a complete person now.
You are a complete person.
Right. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate you, man.
Complete scumbag. But
thanks, guys.
Scott, thanks for joining us.
That's ugly to say about a person.
Okay? Well, I mean, I feel like my scouting report on you is accurate. I think Bell would back me up on that. Our eyes, this film work tells us.
Listen, how about this? D&M Leasing. I'm going to talk to them today, as a matter of fact. I'm going to talk to them about the possibility of me leasing something from them, because when I come back, I need something in the city of Houston. And I just love the way that they do it. You can have one guy to help you find. Listen, if you're going to go car shopping and buy a car, you got to go, oh, where's this one? How about one expert that does all the work to help you find a lower monthly payment? 50 years ago at D&M Leasing, they came up with a simple process, okay? At D&M Leasing, you work with one person from start to finish, learn exactly what you want, shop hundreds of vehicles, find you the lowest monthly payment with your best-in-class easy lease. Handle all the details, coordinate the paperwork, deliver your vehicle straight to your home or office. It's a smart, convenient way to get the vehicle you want for less. One expert, hundreds of choices delivered to your door. That's D&M Leasing. Call D&M Leasing today at 713-290-1000. That's 713-290-1000. It's just better to lease. As opposed to buying a new car, you lose thousands of dollars when they drive off the lot. And get a lease from D&M, dmautoleasing.com, dmautoleasing.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
Can I get a breaking news, Dell?
That's not it.
Wheel of Fortune announcer Jim Thornton has been suspended from the show following an incident on a commercial flight in May when a passenger expressed concerns about Thornton to a flight attendant. TMZ wrote that sources with direct knowledge tell us the pilot called ahead to have law enforcement meet Thornton when they arrived at the gate. We have recently been made aware of allegations concerning Jim Thornton, Sony Pictures TV said in a statement. He has been suspended from Wheel of Fortune, and we are recasting while we conduct a thorough investigation. So he is out. I just say this because, like, could DraftKings have called ahead?
Jim Thornton? Who's that?
Whoever's on Wheel of Fortune announcer.
Okay.
Oh, he's the guy who goes, well, I don't watch Wheel of Fortune anymore, but he must be the guy that goes, and the prize now is the new
Wheel of Fortune.
Is he that guy? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I guess
that guy.
Anybody could do that job.
Well, I would imagine he's probably a perv.
I don't know what he did, but could we have had someone wait ahead at a gate for John during our fantasy football auction, our fantasy football draft? Could somebody have been waiting there at the poker room?
What?
Well, like, they had somebody wait ahead at the gate after their flight was done. After our draft was done, you went right to the poker room. Could we have had someone waiting for you, for your behavior? And maybe called ahead of the poker room, said, could you detain him?
What behavior?
Could you detain him?
Well, fine.
Well, we had this message in here, too. The best strategy, your best fantasy football strategy. Obviously, the best draft day strategy is to make sure Granados have plenty of Coors Lights available before the draft begins.
That's not true.
You actually are much more sober in our auction.
I do. No. What?
You take that
at
one.
At the auction, I've been drinking all day.
Well, it feels like you take that one more seriously.
No. No, I don't.
It doesn't feel like you take our
fantasy. I think I'm at my best playing golf and auction and drafting after I've had a more than a few.
Well, you're just less disruptive in the auction. You're extraordinarily disruptive in the fantasy.
You didn't see me and Chad spilling Coors Lights all over Sean's all over that room.
No, I try to get my team on paper as quickly as possible and get out.
Right.
But you sit on the front row, so
if you win,
we're in a big movie theater screen, right? So Sean stays at a nice apartment or high rise or whatever, and we get the movie room,
right?
A screening room, and so we're in there every year. We bring some we get pizzas. People bring their own drinks. It's beautiful, and then John and Chad just. Well, Chad actually is usually on his best.
We bring a cooler.
Yeah, Chad's a very reasonable person. I don't find Chad to be as disruptive as you.
Well, see, if you win the division, you get to pick who you want in your division the following year.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
I always pick Lance and Chad.
That's a new thing.
Yeah, right.
Always. We literally started last year.
2 years I did it.
I thought it was just last year.
No, 2 years.
Excuse me.
Are we going on about... There was a break in between, pretty long one. I had to combine. Are we going on about 30 minutes of, in some way, shape, or form, fantasy football content? Is this what this hour is going to be until News of the Weird? You guys want to do anything else?
No, we miss? And we missed Buddy Stevens. Buddy Stevens.
Buddy Stevens from East Mississippi Junior College, right? Community College, EMCC. Right.
Right, right.
Not to be confused with E equals MC squared. Eastern Mississippi Community College was a junior college powerhouse, and he was the original coach. That's the original program that the Netflix documentary series Last Chance University was based on.
He's won titles. He won national championships in 2011, 13, 14, 17, and 18. They just fired him because they changed the playoff format in his conference, the MACCC, where it's just the two division champions as opposed to the first and second place teams playing off. They added an extra regular season game and took out the second place teams in the playoffs. And he said, they're idiots. It's stupid. He went off on the people who made this decision, and they said, well, that is inconsistent with our core value. I'm not sure what Eastern Mississippi's core values are. But
have you saw some of the players who played there?
Yeah. But I just feel like they probably have had enough, buddy.
That's probably
you don't win all those national championships and get fired JUCO because you called the conference idiots.
Some
of the stuff behind it is his former OC is now the AD.
That's got to be a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I always hated this mother. Yeah.
I mean, he's probably had enough, buddy. He's probably like, okay.
Do you know that Jaren Reed played there?
I had to put up with you when you were my boss. I ain't putting up with you anymore.
Former Alabama Crimson Tide and current world champion Seattle Seahawk Jaren Reed played at Eastern Mississippi Community College.
I remember seeing him. Was he one of the guys on Last Chance?
That's what I'm trying to remember because he was a rookie in 16.
Last Chance came out a while ago.
Dakota Allen from Texas Tech went there. I remember him being on the show. Last Chance U season 1. When was that? How long ago were we watching that? It was 16. He was a Patriot in 16. He was in season 1, he was a Seattle Seahawk. That was his rookie.
He had long since.
So we would not have seen it.
And there's a story about, this is a nice story. Danny Okoye, he's putting his money where his mouth is. He is he's tied to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a 9/11. It's donating to people who've lost loved ones in the terrorist attacks. And every tackle he's going to give $100. Every sack, $200, and every interception, $500. He plays for Oklahoma. He's a linebacker for Oklahoma. So he is, now I don't know how much he's getting paid, but it must be quite substantial. But he says, they've got 30 student athletes around the nation that represent them, this charity. He's the first one that is actually doing something like this. I mean, I've never heard anybody do anything like this, actually.
There have been in my draft preparation. There have been people who have donated entire NIL checks to feed people. Yeah, there have been some really great stuff. And shout out to Danny. You know, the first inclination is to say, wait a minute, how much is that actually going to be? Let me go look at his stats. You know what? Don't be that guy, because I was almost that guy, and that's not right. He's doing something.
He's doing something.
He's actively doing something. And there's a lot more players than you realize who do put some. It's not just going to chains and Lambos or whatever and shoes. There's a lot of these guys who actually put into and who are actually active in doing things for their communities in terms of Thanksgiving, you know, things for the church, things for Thanksgiving Day, you know, making sure they feed people. I've been very pleasantly surprised to read stories in the middle of my draft preparation when I'm reading up on these players that there's a decent, not an overwhelming number, but there's a decent number of stories that I find where guys have used NIL money to do very positive things in their communities, mm-hmm. do very charitable things. So There's that, too. It doesn't get talked about enough, but there's plenty of those guys, too.
Well, he's just a sophomore, so he didn't have many stats last year.
Right.
But he's going to – he's a defensive end lineman, linebacker slash, you know.
What's his – did it say why he's doing it?
He was born 3 years after the towers fell. So, I don't know. He just got in with this charity, and he said, I'm gonna do it. I'm going
to
do this.
He said, you can say that you care about this, care about that, but what are you actually doing to support it? Hopefully I can put my gifts to use in a way that doesn't just make my name popular or provide accolades, but actually give something back to something I feel is important. According to the guy, the head of, or Larry Olson, executive president of Tunnels to Towers, told Garawara, this was all whoever Guruawa, I have to look at who that is. Oh, that's the athletics writer. Said that this is all Okoye's idea. Marks the first time that has ever happened with a college student athlete. Mm-hmm. Although there's, like I said, there's other stuff. But according
to
the writer,
charity, that's the first time.
Yeah, Okoye's father serves as chaplain to police and firefighters around Oklahoma. One of his uncles is the fire chief in the city, and another works as a police officer. And of course, we know that the NYPD and the NYFD, the fire department, police department, were very heroic. Many lost their lives. Traumatic on so many families there in the New York area about what ended up happening to their fathers and husbands and things like that. So I'm sure that was probably in the background. He's got, as he said, he's got a father or he's got uncles who are fire chief in the city, and another works as a police officer. So probably one of those things he's always thought about. Because it's the most famous, you know, things done by an entire city's police department and fire department was their work in 9/11 and their sacrifices in 9/11. So maybe that's something that really speaks to him because of his uncles being in fire department, police department. That's awesome. I'm glad he's doing that. I'm cheering for him.
Yep.
Another thing that we missed, the band is getting back together. Some former ESPN commentators, analysts are getting together.
Can you name all four, Dale?
Well, I have the list in front of me, so it's not fair.
Okay.
Trey Wingo, Merrill Hodge.
Woody.
And Damian Woody and Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're going with the OG football crew when there's a name right in front of them that they can use that
Ryan
already has some
Clark.
Branding. Ryan Clark's not there yet. Oh. They're going with the OG football crew, but there's a name that they could use.
Mina Khan, Ben Solak.
No, they're still on ESPN.
Oh.
The Expendables.
Oh, you mean as a name.
As the name of the show.
Oh,
as the name of the show.
The Expendables, that's pretty good.
They just call themselves the Expendables.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
There's already branding there.
Very self-deprecating.
Well, there's
Merrill Hodge doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
There's a movie franchise with that name. It plays into that. But, yeah, so Hodge, Woody, Schlereth, and Wingo all together.
Merrill Hodge has gotten more famous for... Like, no one talks about the misses he's had, but his hits look substantial.
Yeah.
In fantasy,
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel, but the Jadeveon Clowney, did you see that one the other day?
No.
I mean, this guy's just, he's famous for one play in the Outback Bowl as a sophomore that we had on our TV station. That's the only thing let's take a look at him right now. And he went down and broke it down. I'm like, yeah, he was right on Jadeveon Clowney. He nailed Jadeveon Clowney. So his hits have aired. He's one of the lucky ones who hits and then something's dug up in his path. You know, somebody digs that up and says, man, Merrill killed this one. Because what Daniel Jeremiah and I were talking about last year, he goes, when you run against the grain on a player and the public gets mad at you and for example, the Shador stuff, but you could go to any number of players where the general public says you're an idiot because you don't ride with the consensus. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. 3 years down the road, when you're right, there's about an 8% chance that you being right will come back. But all of the you're an idiots are remembered out there, and they just stick that in that mind. That guy's an idiot. That guy's an idiot. They don't remember. Why did I think he's an idiot? Oh. Oh, it turns out I guess he was right about that. And he's like, you can't win.
They forget all the ones you're wrong about.
No, they don't. Oh, trust me. They'll go find those.
Merrill Hodge, name all the ones he was wrong about.
Merrill's been off for a while. Because well, don't right. worry, I saw someone go dig up his wrongs, too. There was someone who wanted to make sure.
Yeah, but he's more, much more famous for the Manziel.
Right now, years later.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm telling you is that's extremely right. rare. You think he was the only one that was down on Johnny Manziel?
Nobody who, was as nobody was as you don't vocal
know.
About
oh,
it.
Oh, I'm sure there were. You just wouldn't know. Because no one comes back and says,
well,
man, this guy was right.
Well, he was also on ESPN saying it when
exactly.
everybody else was.
Right. Exactly. But they don't go back. And this is after he's off the air, by the way.
Right.
All these accolades, not getting paid anymore.
Yeah.
And they're not bringing him back.
No, but he's okay.
Congratulations for being right. Sorry you don't get paid here anymore.
Yeah. ESPN, though, was in a, they had a big purge of all white
yeah,
guys.
That's true.
Dal, what?
Well, Damon Woody got purged, too.
No, all yeah. of them got purged.
Yeah, yeah. But you missed what John said. What else is out there? Someone did
want to... Whoa, what did he... I didn't know what he said.
He said a purge of all the white guys.
oh, I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, I know. He's
Ryan Clark, just, noted white guy.
Yeah,
well, well no, but there's a lot more white guys that
well,
got...
Well, they
yeah.
hired a lot
more
white lot more guys.
Employed.
There are a lot more white guys employed.
Right.
Over the years, yeah.
Carl Ravage among them, who I think was given a nice farewell on the Little League... On the Little League baseball, broadcast.
Yeah, they let him call the Little League World Series. That's pretty
yeah.
cool.
And the I saw the who was it? One of the a center fielder. Oh, the Milwaukee Brewers center fielder Garrett, whatever his last name is. Anyway, he I was really cool. He was interviewing him during the game because Carl Ravage, even after he was fired, continued to do games for well, ESPN. He said, "I'll
to.
Finish out because they need help. They need baseball guys," and he continued to do it. And Garrett, when he was done with the interview, you know, they interview him while he's in center field. He was like, "Hey, Carl, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and all you've done. I've been watching you for years and how great you've been." And I was like, "Wow,
oh,
that is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That is really cool."
What we missed, though?
Well, here's one that we never got to earlier in the week. Joe Burrow had this phrase. He made this is an actual sentence Joe said. "I used to think I didn't want to play football very long, and now I'm like, I'm just going to go until I can't do it anymore." What has been going through the mind of Joe Burrow?
He's
that Olivia Ponton
He didn't
girl.
Want to play. I used to think, I'll just play football for a little bit and I'll be done. I guarantee the Bengals didn't think that whenever he first signed
well,
his contract.
Since he flipped that girl, he probably thought, listen,
got to stop.
I got a future in this. Okay, flipping.
Is that a career?
No, you're not going to make
it
money.
It could be. You don't know.
And you're going to have a low success rate.
I'm sure a lot, maybe a dad would pay to have his daughter flip.
A low
success.
I can't be part of this.
I
just took some kind of sensitivity training with the NFL. I can't be part of John's flipping business.
Like, I'm clearly not a father, thankfully. You guys maybe don't utter your actual opinions on air just to keep yourselves protected. But if you're a father. Yeah, well, if you're a father, do you want some awful grubby dude with your girl?
Joe's not an awful grubby dude.
This is not about Joe Burrow. This
you
is
seen
the random
Paris Fashion Week?
Which okay, let
yeah,
me ask
well,
you this:
he had a hole in his jacket.
When you're talking about flipping, as you like to say,
you see him in the locker room at
would
LSU
you,
after
would
they
you
won.
Appreciate
a cigar?
Would you appreciate a man walking in front of your daughter so as not to be photographed with her like Joe treated that girl? Would you like that for your daughter?
No, he might be Japanese. You don't know.
No, we know he's not Japanese. Cut it out. The most
he might be. Maybe he's
the most ethnic
culture.
He's from Ohio.
The most ethnic
he is
Cajun because he spelled his
Japanese culture.
He spelled
there.
Burrow differently on his final walkout as a senior. He's not Japanese.
He did that for the Cajuns.
I understand.
That's Wendy's.
Wendy's
culture is not your costume.
Yeah,
Joe.
Cajuns loved him.
I got
Wendy's
name.
Culture is not your
That's
costume,
the most
Joe.
Ethnic you could say. He spelled it with an E-A-U-X, Burrow.
Right. Yeah.
But I asked you a question, John, like Gilbert would say. I asked you a question, John.
I asked you a question.
Oh. You love Joe. I know. Never-ending love. Joe, now Scott Barrett and
Josh
Pate, the
right.
three guys you love. Get it.
Right.
I got it. If you as a father saw a guy decide, hey, we can't be photographed together. I got to walk four steps ahead of you whenever cameras are around. Would you appreciate it?
Yeah, but it depends. How much
depends?
Is he paying the bills?
Stop it!
I don't care.
This whole thing is about
it's
him
ridiculous.
Flipping a lesbian woman to straight, which she was never lesbian.
Well, she was bi.
She's bisexual, man. She already come on.
Flipped.
What are y'all doing? Y'all make way too big a deal about that.
The old flipperoo.
How about this one?
I love Joe. Doesn't matter how bad he treats her.
The Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers have reached a pre-agreement with a 12-year-old named Kevin Sosa for $4 million. Did you see this kid named Kevin Sosa who signed for $4 million? Who's 12? It's a $4 million. And did you see this kid swing a bat?
Left-hander, right?
Kid, how did he only get $4 million?
Because he's 12.
There is like a 0% chance, unless this kid ends up getting involved with meth or fentanyl or something, or really bad women, like really, really
the
terrible
women.
Women.
Are the problem.
I'm just saying they could bring him down.
Okay.
This swing is so natural and beautiful. Oh my gosh. I know why they gave a 12-year-old $4 million. When I first saw the stories, I'm like, what are you doing, Tiger? Oh. This kid swings a bat already like
and
he's 18 years old.
Well, the clothes, what do we miss? Did you see that Scooble took his espresso machine back from the Tigers after he got traded? Like, it was in a clubhouse. He bought it for the team. And once he was dealt, he's like, whoop, that's mine.
That's a low rent move. Scooble.
You can buy another one when you get your Dodger contract. Goodness
what
gracious.
What a low rent move.
That's terrible. Terrible.
He said his wife made him do it.
Whatever. But you know what? Get a new wife.
Well, we're just trading in women, I guess. I guess. We're just doing that, I guess. No.
All right. I'm pretty
maybe
sure.
Don't have to listen to her all the time.
Pretty sure Keith Tate doesn't want to be around this, but you know what? ProDunk. ProDunk.com. It's the way you play basketball. It's the way your kids are out there playing basketball, loving basketball. Loving dunking, actually outside, okay? Even in this heat. You know, you're probably seeing kids out there still. It's so much fun that they're going to be outside. You know what? If your kids are just sitting around playing video games all day, they got to get out. They got to exercise. They ain't playing, Dad. If you've got a 10-foot goal, can't reach it. No fun. It's terrible. The basket shakes. It's awful. The rim is bent. Terrible. Not the Pro Dunk. It's got the best of everything. The unbreakable rim. The tempered glass backboard. The unrustable stanchion. It's lower and raise the goal with a push of a button. There is nothing about this goal that your kids, your wife, and you won't love. It'll last forever. It's the best goal you could possibly have. I had one. Loved it. Gave it to the neighbors. That's how much, and it's still out there looking brand new. ProDunk.com. You're looking for the best goal in the history of goals. ProDunk.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Good news. The Southern California's serial butt sniffer has been arrested again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
A man with a history of arrest for sniffing women's rear ends in public has been arrested again.
Do we know what the charge is for that? Like, indecency? What do you get charged with?
Actions? Sexual harassment?
Is it assault?
The charges. He was arrested. He was arrested fetishization for violating his parole.
Oh, okay.
He's a registered sex offender.
Ooh, well, that's...
Got it.
Whatever he's doing is not right.
No, it isn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't touch someone but you smell their butt, is that still a crime?
Let him cook.
Let
him cook.
I'm assuming it is because he got arrested. I just don't know what the crime is. Like, what do they classify that as? Sniffing a butt?
I mean, it's not good.
It's not good. If you sniff a butt without contact, what's the crime?
Dell just wants to know, what is the charge?
I'm on the side, and if you need to put that man... in custody, I'm good with that, too. I just don't know what they charged them with. That's all. I'm going to do my own research. Do your own research, everybody.
Do your own research.
As if Native Americans haven't lost enough. Emmett Smith has been accused of cheating Native American tribe out of $2.5 million.
Oh, no. He's the Brett Favre of running backs? Terrible.
Instead of a whole state, it's
a
whole...
They loaned him $2.5 million.
Tribe of people?
It was some kind of project that they were supposed to do. They lent him $2.5 million for it. Interest, costs, expenses. It's more than 2 years past due, and they haven't gotten a penny back. Come on, Emmett. Wait a minute. Doesn't he do the beard darkening commercials?
Yes.
I mean, Emmett, do a couple commercials. Honestly, pay back. I mean, we took all the land and then the genocide, too.
Emmett's like, we. What do you mean, we? We took all the land. Emmett's like, what are you talking about, we? I had none. That wasn't my people.
We took all the land. Emmett's like, America. Excuse me?
America, who's this we you're talking about?
You want to make a trip down my family tree?
Emmett's part of America.
I'm not sure he's part of the taking the land from the
Native
from
Americans.
The Native American
two Americas,
tree.
John. They're two Americas. So I did my research. To find
actually, technically, you're not either, John.
Well, that's true.
You've got Italian guilt.
No, my people were in Italy when all that was going on.
So I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why are you taking bullets for that,
yeah,
then?
Yeah, they were intermingling with the 14 people in the village. They all intermingled.
Yeah, so don't worry. Don't worry.
It was like
was
the Targaryens.
A lot of intermingling going on.
In Johnstown was like the Targaryens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of that was going on.
The Targaryens.
So apparently you can get hit with some of the charges. You can get hit with loitering with intent, disorderly conduct, or lewd behavior if you're caught sniffing someone's
butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just glad I never ran across him.
I don't think he was looking for you.
No, he wasn't. But if me and Wendy were walking down the street, yeah.
Serial. Yeah, if you were traversing Glendale, you may have run into him.
News of the Weird was brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Get on over. And on your way home, you're on 610 and you're stopped. Just stop over there. It's right at 18th Street and 610. Damaris Barbecue brings you News of the Weird every day.
Promise I'm going there tomorrow. But for today, Charlotte brought me some dirty-ass spaghetti.
What?
So her dirty spaghetti is...
Dirty-ass spaghetti, you said?
And she said, look what I wrote on it. It says dirty-ass spaghetti. Because she listens to the show and he says trash-ass Lance. So she said dirty-ass spaghetti.
Right.
Okay.
Dirty spaghetti with Cajun... It's like dirty rice meets spaghetti, John.
Ooh,
you would love
that.
It's marrying your... Actually, it'd be great for your home.
It's got all kinds of sausages.
Cajun and Italian
coming together? That's like your home.
But John's never here, so he can get fed by Charlotte.
Oh, John's coming tomorrow. Don't worry.
Well, Charlotte, you're out of food, right?
Don't worry
about it. She's out of food.
Oh, Charlotte, just not there, yes.
Charlotte, I'm there all next week. Got plenty of time to cook. Let's go.
She's taking a break.
The whole week, Charlotte. Boom. All right, but I'm talking about HR&P. HR&P wants me around. HR&P loves me. They love all of the employees. HR&P takes care of all of us in the best possible way. There is nothing better than when that paycheck comes and it's right on, dead on, every single time. How do they do it? They have clients all over the state, all over the country, in different countries. How do they do it? Well, the technology is second to none. They're based here in Houston. You know, we've got an international company based right here in Houston that you need to take advantage of. They are awesome. It is personalized service. We know the guys. We love the guys. We hang out with the guys. We get to know them. They help us with our business. They'll help you with your business. Other places don't have... right here in the city. They're right on the Beltway. And they are all over the city, and they are there for you. Every one of our clients that works with HR&P loves what HR&P does for them. You will too. HR, payroll, taxes, all your benefits packages as well. You're looking for the best way to get that payroll to your people, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.